come one, come all to yet another Creative Outlet of bonus. I am your host, Brandon Putwell, and we are here today on this fine December morning, almost noon, December 15th, 2023, to talk about something that happened months ago. But I have good reason for it. I have good reason to be behind. It's part of what I'm going to talk about here today before we get into the main meat of the matter. The next full episode, folks, should be the wrap-up episode. I'm hoping to actually potentially have it be done before the end of the year. Wow, I know. Novel idea, right? But what have I been doing in the interim? I don't know. Well, I suppose I probably talked about it in episode 29, which at the time of this recording should be releasing in 41 minutes, 11:19 a.m., and I have it set to release at noon on this fine Friday. And I talked about how, I'm working on job changes. That's done. I haven't actually, changed jobs, but I have indeed been able to move on to what I consider to be a superior shift. I'm actually off today, which is not normal. I would normally be working in, give or take, 2 hours or so, and out until 10:30 at night just working on what I do, which I certainly don't mind. It way beats being out from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. But today I'm off. It's because I actually will be working tomorrow, taking over the shift of somebody else who normally would be working tomorrow, but alas, sometimes that's how it goes. But the other big change that I talked about is that I indeed completed the other thing I said I would do, which is that I moved. I am currently coming to you from a new space. In fact, I have a clip of what will at some point, hopefully here, be my final studio. Not my final studio, but my studio in this new place in which I live, my new apartment space. Yes, I have a whole separate room here, folks, that probably looks like a complete mess, a complete cluster, you might say, if you wanted to get a little bit closer to something that is explicit. because I still need some things completed, chief among them being this big desk that you see many pieces of. Once that's built, you know, and I'm not just recording on the little tiny piece that you see my laptop here on, I'll be able to actually record some stuff. And I actually have some bigger plans related to that going into the new year, possibly starting with the next episode. I need to see some more, not just with the video things, but like a big change for the show, something I've talked about doing for a long time, or rather talked about having, but have not been able to have until now. I'll leave you in suspense until the next full episode to see if that's panned out for that episode or if we have to wait until into 2024. But suffice it to say, I have some exciting things going on, in my opinion. No audio treatment in here yet. I'm hoping to get stuff hung up on the walls that can, you know, they're not going to be soft as audio treatment. I'm only allowed to hang up things in here using nails. I'm not allowed to use, anything else, so I'm not sure how I would get foam on the walls. That could be the one little issue I see, is that, I mean, there's definitely going to be some reverb in this, because I'm recording in the middle of a room with a lot of hard surfaces, aside from my nice carpeting. But again, sometimes that's just how it goes. Let's see. Oh, yes, and I will eventually get this mess cleaned up, hopefully once again this desk is built, because I would love to get this second silver DVD rack you probably saw in the video clip up with all those games that are in the bags in it, and I have plans for that old computer with that desk as well. So anyway, that's my little update. Room coming together. It's going to look more appropriate. I'm going to have a studio. I should hopefully, therefore, that means be back on camera soon. That would be great. I know there are podcasts that have video formats. You know, if you're listening to this, this show also has a video format that gets posted to that website. You might have heard of it, called youtube.com. And I just haven't been filming because, for one thing, I haven't had this desk. I'm really pushing to actually have this desk built here now that I live in this new place of mine. And I haven't had it really in a appropriate background with, you know, proper accoutrements to the things that I like. And now I have that. This is the studio slash old game room in my place. I know. And would you believe I'm paying less to live here than I paid in my previous place? By a technicality. Formally, it's not the case. But based on other things that I was paying, I am paying less to live where I am now compared to previously. So anyway, that's 6 minutes of me giving production-y updates, I guess, or just general life updates, teasing you folks on what should hopefully happen next time. I don't know yet. For sure, but hopefully. And now we're going to get into the main meat of what we're here to talk about today, which is to talk about that September Nintendo Direct. I did record some live stuff for it, like I had done the previous time, but listening back to it, there wasn't really a ton of interesting stuff I had to say other than on one particular game. So we'll be sure to play that in here. I'll edit that in. And of course, some of the games that I will be talking about here have been indeed released since this has been recorded. There are two major ones in particular that I'm going to talk about that have had their releases, but that still doesn't mean I'm not interested in talking about them. So let's just kind of go down the line. First thing they talked about in that show was the second part of the Splatoon 3 DLC. You know, it's still kind of a shrug for me. It's not going to persuade me to purchase the game. It looks like the second part of that DLC is pretty much more or less what I expected. It's more story-type levels. Now, I will say, with the Octo expansion to Splatoon 2 as part of the online expansion pack, I bet I would enjoy the DLC levels to Splatoon 3 better than I would the main campaign, because that was the case for me with the Octo expansion. I very much enjoy those levels better because they're way quicker. They're just generally bite-sized. I'm not really into Splatoon as a single-player game. I know some people think of it, oh, it's like a 3D platforming third-person shooter, which is true, but I don't know. I don't think Splatoon works really well for that. I think Splatoon works better as what its main gameplay is, which is a third-person action shooting game, a multiplayer-based game, right? So, you know, cool, again, happy. I'm always going to come back to this. As much as I have issues with Splatoon 3, and I still haven't bought it, I am happy for the people that are happy for it, that enjoy it, you know, glad for them. As long as they're having fun, that's all that really matters. And I'm sure the folks who have downloaded Side Order and are looking forward to playing as an Octoling with Pearl and Marina at their side, as their guide, I guess, might be a little bit more accurate. I'm happy that they're getting what they want. Speaking of getting things that people might want, something that I would not have expected, but I'm glad that I do want it, is the remake of Mario vs. Donkey Kong. It's coming out in February, so not too terribly long from now. It's definitely not a game that I'm like, oh my god, I have to get it immediately as soon as it comes out. I've not pre-ordered it. I don't think that's really necessary for me. In fact, I expect it to be the type of game that I would get when it's on sale. But you know what? I'm glad to see it come back. It explains why that game also isn't on the Game Boy Advance Switch Online. I would have thought for sure that would have been one of the first games on there, and the fact that it still hadn't shown up to that point, now that we know, oh, they're remaking the game, they're adding in features like co-op, I think that's a good reason to be like, okay, that's not going to be on there. Beyond that, I mean, you know, I think the cutscenes for the game looks good. I don't think the gameplay looks as good as it could be, and that's not to say I don't think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. I'm literally talking graphically. Something about Mario versus Donkey Kong just is kind of in this weird, uncanny valley sort of area. I don't know, like, it looks like Mario art, playing the game, and it just looks kind of wrong, in my opinion. It's going to be a $50 release. That's probably also a little bit heavier than I would like to pay for. Again, that's part of why I'm waiting for a sale price to play it. Looking forward to it. Nothing huge, but, you know, cool. I'm more than happy to have a good remake to play. By the time you're hearing this, Super Mario RPG, the remake, has been out for a little bit. I haven't picked it up yet. I am looking into it more. Every time I see a game come out, or I see a game get announced, and I'm like, I don't really need to get it right away. It's always like the press cycle comes out for it, and I'm like seeing all these things about it, and then I'm like, maybe I do want to get Super Mario RPG. Maybe I do want to get WarioWare. I still haven't done it. You know, I haven't seen a good reason to spend the money yet, but I've definitely thought about, like, maybe I do want that game right now, but I haven't done it yet. On the whole, seems like a pretty faithful remake, you know, some script changes, some visual changes, things that you would generally expect to see happen to a game from 1996, remade in 2023. But as far as what was revealed here, I don't know if, you know, like, they revealed things like, oh, here's the triple move. That's the thing that little pie wheel I talked about when I had first talked about it in the June direct presentation. I was like, I wonder what that's all about. Makes sense, super move. I don't really know that it was super necessary. Same thing, they're now perfect action commands, so, you know, like in any other Mario RPG, this isn't just your standard turn-based RPG where your character just does the attack and it is what it is. You actually have to time hits based on the animations. In fact, they were called timed hits in the original SNES script for the game, as opposed to action commands, which is now what they're called today. Anyway, if you perfectly time the hit, your damage doesn't just isn't not just inflicted on the targeted enemy, it affects all enemies. So if I have a group of four enemies and I have Mario target the front one on the left, and I perfectly time my action command with the hammer, instead it'll attack all of the enemies. Again, I don't know that is really necessary, or that a super move in the form of the triple move is really necessary, because I don't think of Super Mario RPG as a super hard role-playing game. So making it easier to me is more of a question mark. In fact, there's also an easy mode in the game too, in addition to the regular mode. So a lot of focus on just making the game easier for people to pick up. I'm not against that. I'm more than happy to have easy modes for the folks who want them. I just don't know that it's necessarily something for me. They also mentioned there will be boss rematches, or rather there are boss rematches, I guess I should say, since the game is out. You know, it should be interesting, and that's actually a little bit of extra challenge added to the game, so I'm in favor of that. And I do know a particular one with its rematch is especially interesting when you consider other changes to the remake. I'm not going to spoil what it is, but if you've played the game, or whether it's the old one or the new one, I would imagine you have an idea of what that is. So Super Mario RPG looking good. You know, when I get to it, I get to it. Not like I it's not like I have to play it now, but I am definitely interested in still picking it up. Now here's a fun one. Totally out of nowhere. Never would have expected this. Another Code Recollection. So if you don't know what this is, Another Code is actually the more global name of a two-game series. That only us Americans got one of them. We got the original Trace Memory on the DS. In Europe, it was known still as Another Code, and Europe and Japan actually got the sequel on the Wii, which is Another Code R. Either way, we're talking about a DS adventure game and a Wii adventure game that as a kid I obviously wouldn't have wanted to play, but now that I'm an adult and I enjoy the visual novel and adventure game genre much more, I gotta tell you folks, I am really looking forward to playing this because, you know, it's a DS classic. Okay, cult classic, but still a DS classic to some people that I never would have played at the time. So just for that alone, I'm interested in picking it up. Really, really, really cool to see that the Wii sequel is finally being released in some way officially here in North America, that I would not need to get a European copy and mod a Wii or emulate it on Dolphin to play it anymore. I am kind of interested if there's any like DS super centric puzzles that are going to be changed, though, that would have been tough to translate over to the Switch version, seeing as, you know, I'm sure most people are going to play it on the TV. I know, like, in The Legend of Zelda, The Phantom Hourglass, not to sound as if I'm going off on a tangent here, but I remember there's an iconic puzzle in that game where the solution is, hey, close the DS and open it back up. So I'm thinking about, like, are there any going to be puzzles like that, particular touchscreen puzzles that are going to be harder to accomplish because you're not on the DS? So I'd really like to know what the workaround is there. And actually, I do have some answers to that question, sort of, because literally, I cannot make this up, folks, but the night before I'm recording this, there's a demo for Another Code Recollection, and I played the whole thing, and I am quite extra looking forward to the game now based on what I played. I do have some issues with it, with the little bit that I played. I do wish some things were labeled a little bit better, but that's just because I like to check everything. I don't just like walking past something, not having checked it, and missing like a piece of dialogue that I could have read. But, you know, it is what it is. I would say now Another Code's kind of like a third person adventure game. It reminds me, the view reminds me a lot of like the Resident Evil 4 and beyond games in the Resident Evil series, which is a little bit weird, except it's still it's not really lighthearted, but it's still like, you know, an adventure game as opposed to a horror game. I'm interested to see where it goes. I hear the DS game is supposed to be really short, so I'm sure the first Another Code, Two Memories, as it's called now, as opposed to Trace Memory, isn't going to be that long, but, you know, I'm just excited to try something new. And quite looking forward to it. And I did get some answers actually on the changed puzzles, because after I finished the demo, I was like, well, I want to kind of see this little section that I just played in the DS version. And I tell you, that DS game, very different. I don't think I would like it nearly as much as the remake here, because it's like top down on the touchscreen movement. And then on the top screen, you see almost like a first-person view, but it's just a still image of what Ashley is seeing in that moment, and then you can choose to, like, examine that area. So in that sense, I would like it in that it's like, well, I know for sure what all I can look at, but it's kind of awkward. And there's a whole, like, little section at the start of the demo of the Switch version of the game that isn't in the DS version at all. So they completely change that. There's similarly a puzzle in the DS game that doesn't show up in the Switch version at all. So I guess they're just kind of getting rid of puzzles necessarily that wouldn't work for the Switch version, possibly, but they're going to try to keep in ones that would work otherwise. Yeah, I don't know. I've never played the original game, so I'm really interested to get opinions on this from people who, of course, have played that game, are really big fans of it, because I think there's some interesting stuff going on here. But either way, looking forward to it. At this point, again, December 15th, it comes out January 19th, so I only have a little over a month to wait for that. So, hey, you know, nothing wrong with having too many adventure games, considering there's another trio of remade adventure games that slash visual novels that are coming out literally 6 days after that as well. It's a good time to be a fan of that genre. I'll just leave it like that. We now have a title for the Peach game. Remember the Peach game that I was kind of in on? That game is now titled Princess Peach Showtime. Wow. And it sees the princess visiting this new place, the Sparkle Theater, where she's tasked with defeating the Sour Bunch with her new partner, Stella. Now, I didn't note something I should have written in the notes here. I really like how the game looks, right? I like the aesthetic quite a bit. To me, I'm not sure. Nobody's come out and said it for sure. But to me, it looks like this has to be whatever Next Level Games has been working on when they were done with Mario Strikers. Or it was like another game they were working on beside Mario Strikers. It gives me the impression of the kind of game that they would be doing based on looks. But for all I know, it's an in-house, like, Nintendo Street developed game. I have no idea. But either way, again, visit Sparkle Theater, defeat the Sour Bunch. Stella's the partner. That's that kind of star wand looking character that I had noted when it was revealed. I'm liking a lot of stuff about the game. I like the costumes. I like the how the game seems to change. Like that there's sort of a slight bit of genre change based on the play genre that Peach encounters. But my issue still is pretty much the same as when the game was revealed, which is I don't know what kind of game Princess Peach Showtime is per se. You know, it's not clearly like, oh, this is a platformer, this is an adventure game, this is that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with sort of unique genre games or new ideas, but I'm hoping that when the next Direct comes out, if it talks about Princess Peach Showtime, or if there is a demo for it closer to the to release, that is what finally persuades me, that makes me go, oh, I see what this is, and this is why it's interesting. But right now, what exactly this game is still kind of a mystery to me, and I'm not a fan of that. To be more harsh in describing it, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this last time. I wonder if Princess Peach Showtime weren't like a Mario adjacent game, would people be interested? If this were a generic princess character going through a play, would it have garnered the same kind of response and audience that it has? And I do think it is actually a genuine concern for the title, because, you know, I'd had this discussion kind of similarly online with someone who offered a counterpoint, and I think it's a fair counterpoint, right? You could have made that same argument with something like WarioWare or with Luigi's Mansion. But my rebuttal to that in saying, well, it's like a new, unique kind of game, we've never seen it before, would people be interested if it weren't a Wario game or if it weren't a Luigi game? And again, my rebuttal is just that, you know, those are two games that I think are easy enough to understand and easy enough to see the appeal with without their Mario connection. The idea of like, here is a score attack game where you have to rapid play a bunch of little teeny tiny games that can last seconds, and you want to try to get the highest score possible, that's interesting and understandable on its own without having Wario there. You could make a WarioWare game without Wario, or the whole series could have been original characters, and I think it would have been maybe not quite as successful as it is, but, you know, still a successful little side series. You know, same thing with Luigi's Mansion, right? At the end of the day, it's just, here is a game where you hunt ghosts, right? That's easy to understand. It's going to appeal to some people. The fact that it's Luigi, that it's connected to the Mario series, in my opinion, is really more just an enhancement. Again, I can describe what Princess Peach Showtime is, and that it's a game that you adventure around in plays, but that doesn't really describe necessarily, you know, what you do. It doesn't, there's nothing that necessarily ties it in that makes it, like, understandable to me, right? You know, it's not like Paper Mario, where you can still go like, hey, you know, it's not just Mario adventures around in a paper land, it's Mario adventures around in a paper land that's a role-playing game, right? I still have that connection to it being a role-playing series, like, in that genre, you know what I'm saying? I think that's part of the problem, right? At least the problem that I'm facing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Princess Peach Showtime can't hold those same distinctions that WarioWare and Luigi's Mansion hold once it comes out, or once they reveal even more about the game. I'm just concerned at this particular moment, not knowing enough about it, that, you know, I can't say that yet. I can't just be like, all right, I see what they're going for here, whether I like it or not, being a separate thing, right? Because I could like it, I might not like it, I don't know yet, you know. Certainly, yeah, again, also adventuring through plays, defeat the villain, okay, I mean, that could be any game, you know. I need to know more of the how in that adventuring part, I guess is really what I'm trying to drill down here. Next game that I wanted to talk about, Detective Pikachu Returns. Thoughts on it? more or less unchanged. The game has come out. I have not bothered picking it up yet because it's just another game that's not like a huge priority for me. I will get it at some point, and you know, I just come back to those darn visuals, man. I'm you know, I would have liked to see them get a little bit more touched up. And I know the reviews for Detective Pikachu Returns were middling, but that was the case with the 3DS game too. And you know, I still look at the game as like, here's a little simpler sort of adventure game again. A lot of adventure games. If you're into adventure games, like I am, like trying to get even more into, this was a good direct for you, I guess. You know, it's just like, here's I wouldn't quite say baby's first Professor Layton or baby's first Ace Attorney, but just, you know, something that's a little bit more introductory, something beyond a humongous entertainment game, I suppose. Something in between there and a full blown adventure slash visual novel type game. We have a small update to Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and that is that it is now using the Luigi's Mansion 2 moniker worldwide. Yes, indeed, us North Americans have now remembered, man, there's that number, there's a number between 1 and 3, and it's called 2. You know, the word, the phrase Dark Moon no longer exists, I guess. From what I saw in the direct, it's the visuals looked a little bit improved from June. Animations as well, looking a little bit smoother, textures looking better. I still think Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, as it's called, it's gonna, no matter what, be subject to the uphill battle of, well, this is the same system that Luigi's Mansion 3 is on. A game that was built and like animated and made for the ground up with the Switch in mind. So, you know, it has to contend with, there's already a game out that has better graphics, it has better animations, that, I mean, as far as the gameplay goes, is a structure that I would say people enjoyed overall more. Now, maybe they will change it for the Switch version to, you know, be more open. I doubt they will. I would think they would keep the mission format, but I know that was the main issue gameplay-wise people had with it, but, you know, it is what it is. Beyond that, Charles Martinet's voice is still there. He is also still in Mario vs. Donkey Kong as well. I should have mentioned that earlier. Kevin Afghani, who is the actor from Mario now, as of Super Mario Bros. Wonder, as well as Luigi and Wario, has not re-recorded lines for Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon or Mario vs. Donkey Kong. It is still Charles Martinet as you remember him. Music's the same too. I know some people had issues with the music. I didn't mind the music in Dark Moon. It's definitely different from Luigi's Mansion 3 and the original game. I don't think it's as iconic by any means, but you know, I don't have any issues with it in particular. Scarescraper's back. I'm hoping maybe Scarescraper will be a little bit more active. It seems like you can't really find as many games in Luigi's Mansion 3 as I can remember, but I don't play that game very often. I should really go back and play it. It's been so long since I've played it. But honestly, the biggest surprise I would say with Luigi's Mansion 2 HD is that it is a summer release. Summer 2024 is the general release period for it. So, you know, people keep thinking like, oh, they're going to reveal a new system. I'm sure a new system will come, will be revealed in sooner rather than later times at this point. But, you know, who knows? We have seen other Switch announcements like Professor Layton and the New World of Steam be listed as a 2025 release. So, you know, it could be still be kicking then. We don't know at this point. I think it's very, very possible. There was a little bit of time dedicated to the fact that the Nintendo Museum's opening in March 2024. To me, that's just another example of something where it's like, did that really need time in this direct where I'd rather learn about games? Probably not. I think that could have been a tweet, or it could have been a YouTube video or something else, as opposed to taking up time in this presentation, in my opinion. Let's see, there were a couple of Amiibo-related announcements. A couple of Amiibo announcements. Nice, nice, nice. We had the reveal of Zelda and Ganondorf in their Tears of the Kingdom forms. I have already grabbed Ganon, but I've found Zelda is a much harder amiibo to find. It's a... I'm not sure what it is. I also did grab Fry for the Splatoon 3 ones recently. I'm still looking around for Shiver and Big Man. I realize, you know, as I can't use them considering I don't have the game that they're used in, but I just like having a full collection at that point. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I'm just saying Sora was finally announced, the last of the Smash Brothers amiibo, and this came after months of people being like, I don't know if Sora's not going to have one. Like, they just worried about it, basically. One of my, you know, biggest pet peeves people know is just people making stuff up or worrying about things or thinking things will happen with no good reason to think it. And this is just another classic example of that. Like, I cannot believe that people seriously thought that, you know, there's going to be an amiibo figure for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate except the last DLC one. Literally just because, like, well, you know, Disney, but, you know, because Disney, right? Yeah, Disney. So that's going to be coming out on February 16th, 2024. I actually earlier this morning was somehow able to pre-order it. That's been a bit of a mess, apparently, all the pre-orders. So unless that gets canceled, I should be picking them up in the middle of February. So looking forward to that. At that point, that just means I am fewer than like 20 amiibo away from completing the Smash Brothers series, something I never thought I would have done. But then again, I guess I also have to remember the series has been out for nearly 10 years. I feel very old thinking about that. I don't want to think about that, my first amiibo figure is nearly 10 years old. But I digress. And now the last one, as of now, is going to be out. Following that, I want to bring you to the live bit. The live bit. Let me let you folks listen to my unbridled excitement for F-Zero 99. Take a listen.
Oh my god! The first F-Zero game in nearly 20 years. And it's... this is kind of lame, a little bit. You know, can't lie. But it's going to be a new Battle Royale game, but it's new. It's F-Zero. F-Zero 99. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah. And I like the SNES F-Zeros. So the fact that this is coming up back, I mean... Dude. There's only one thing that could be better, and they could follow up with this, but I don't know if this is going to happen. And that would be an actual new, proper F-Zero game. But this is great! I never thought I'd ever see F-Zero again, and it's back! Oh, super boost into the skyway?
Oh, there's separate paths on the track!
I could, you know, I have not won anything in Pac-Man 99, which is going away, or Tetris 99, but I could see myself doing, like, decent in this. Sweet. I never thought I'd be excited about a new 99 game, but... It's F-Zero. It's a new, technically new, F-Zero game. Later today! And this is why I recorded this live stuff. Wow. I am excited for this. Also, I'm sorry about all the clipping, but this is like... And it uses a Super Nintendo controller. This is so good. This is everything I could have ever wanted. Okay, not everything, but this is great. Yes. Yes. Like I said, this... I'm glad I definitely recorded this live, because that... Oh, my goodness.
I cannot believe I am talking to you folks in the year of our Lord 2023, saying that there is a new F-Zero game on the Switch. Let me repeat that. A new F-Zero game is on the Switch. Now, I will grant folks, okay... This is not necessarily what I would have wanted as a new F-Zero game. I am with a lot of other folks that are like, well, I would prefer like a quote-unquote proper new F-Zero game. But having played it for a little bit, you know, all the tracks are out now. There is a new classic mode where the game actually takes on the aspect ratio and the mechanics of the original Super Nintendo game. And I think what I had said at some point in that live segment is pretty much true. F-099 it's a lot like the other 99 games. It's not a game that has held my attention for hours on end. I've only played it for like 1 to 2 hours. You know, it doesn't have the same staying power that the other games in the series have had for me, but I would likely call it my favorite of the 99 games. It's just really cool to actually have F-Zero back, to have an HD new F-Zero game of some kind. Humongous. And this is something that I similarly wrote about somewhere on the internet, close to when the game came out, or when it was announced as well, because people were, they were either like really excited, like I am, the fact that there even is anything new F-Zero, but then there were also a lot of people who are really deflated by it, and I totally understand that, because again, this is not necessarily what I would have wanted for a new F-Zero game, right? If I could choose between having a new F-Zero game in the vein of F-Zero GX or F-Zero 99, I'd pick the sequel to GX every time, right? I'd rather live in that world. But I do think it means something that the fourth game in what I have dubbed the 99 series is F-Zero. Okay, first game, Tetris. Super iconic series, well-beloved the world over, gigantic, right? Second entry, Super Mario Bros. 35, which I know doesn't have 99 on the end, but it's the same gameplay idea. Okay, super iconic NES game, celebrates an anniversary, people love the original Super Mario Bros. Third game, Pac-Man 99, which is now gone as far as being able to play it online or downloading any of the content, but if you already downloaded all of it like I did, then you are free and good to go on it. You can just play it offline, for better or worse. But again, debatably the most iconic arcade title ever made. If it's not that, it's probably Space Invaders, right? The fourth entry, not an iconic series whatsoever. You know, beloved by dorks like me, people who really know their Nintendo games, but not necessarily known worldwide in that same kind of iconic way as those three other games and slash series are. And that's the fourth game to be in the 99 series. The fourth game to get the 99 treatment. I think that means something. You know, I'm not going to act like, oh, you know, people downloading a game that they happen to get for free with Switch Online and playing it a bunch necessarily means that, okay, well then Nintendo's definitely thinking about maybe we should bring F-Zero back. Maybe there should be a new sequel in the style of F-Zero GX. I'm not, you know, making any promises of that at all, okay? I don't know for sure if that's happening, but, you know, when you're going from a 20-year drought to we're going to highlight this in our presentation and it, you know, it's going to be at least a somewhat big deal to the point where there are some people who have called it their one of their nominees for Game of the Year. And again, you're following up three very iconic series slash titles in the pantheon of gaming. I think that matters. I do think there's something to it. So you know, hopefully it does translate to a bigger game. As far as what I've played, I've enjoyed it. I think it's really interesting seeing this sort of marriage of the original Super Nintendo F-Zero with some of the mechanics of F-Zero X and F-Zero GX. I still haven't won a race yet, but I've come really, really close. I've been second or third. I actually almost won a Grand Prix early when the game came out as well. I've also had plenty of failures as well. I haven't done real well with the challenges in the game, but hey, I enjoy playing it. Like, if I'm in the mood for some F-Zero, I could see myself just pulling out F-Zero 99 instead of getting out the Super Nintendo cartridge or playing X or GX, just because it's new. It's something different, even though it's in many ways also repackaging the SNES game. And of course, you know, I think it's really cool to see a Super Nintendo game get a huge focus as a person who grew up with that console in many ways. And the fact that the game is actually compatible with the SNES controller is just the cherry on top. Makes me super happy, makes me super nostalgic. So, you know, I can say all kinds of positive things about F-Zero 99. What little I've played of it, I've enjoyed. The fact that I haven't gotten a ton of playtime out of it, I'm not too concerned, considering it is just a part of my online subscription. So, you know, I'll play it more. Hopefully even more updates come out. Maybe I'll try translating some F-Zero X or GX tracks to the SNES style. I think that'd be very interesting. I'm not holding my breath for anything weird like that. But, you know, I'd like to see this game have legs, because I think Nintendo didn't necessarily realize what a big deal they actually had as far as the people that liked it. And, you know, I'm glad to see that some of the folks who were poo-pooing it at first, and understandably so, I totally get where they're coming from, that when they played it, they were like, you know, it's not everything I wanted, but it's still, at its core, it's still F-Zero. And I've been missing it. I've been missing new F-Zero for 20 years. So, and yeah, I mean, if you have played it and you still don't like it, hey, more power to you. Again, I would like to see 3D models of all the characters and new cars and new everything, a new big F-Zero game come out. So, you know, I think at the end of this discussion, as far as F-Zero 99 goes, this is probably the best chance that we have for something like that happening. I don't know that it will, but we got a better chance right now than at any other time previously. Okay, moving on. WarioWare. WarioWare Move It. It's getting pretty much the same treatment that Get It Together got, from me at least, which is to say, I'll pick up WarioWare Move It when, you know, there's a sale, or I just feel like, yeah, I'm ready to pick it up. But like another many games that I've said throughout this, it's not a priority game. It's just like, oh, it's a game that's come out, I'll get it eventually. I already mentioned Kevin Afghani is now voicing Wario in this game. I could probably save this more for thoughts on Super Mario Brothers Wonder, but Wario in particular is probably my least favorite voice for him. I just think Charles Martinet has such a, like, he just had Wario's character down and had such a specific type of voice for Wario that, like, unless you found someone who can really mimic that well, I don't know. I don't think Kevin Afghani necessarily does Wario properly. I think Mario and Luigi, you know, Luigi, I can get down with. Mario's kind of but Wario, I'm just not as into. I'm gonna give him more time, let him have more performances before I'm solidly like, yeah, go Kevin Afghani, or nah, Kevin Afghani. Why couldn't they keep Charles Martinet, or just reuse old voice clips or something? You know, give him more time. As far as the game, you know, that whole WarioWare Move It game, more than just Wario's voice, right? If you've played WarioWare Smooth Moves, pretty much just a sequel to that game. Now only we're using the premise of the cast is on vacation, and we're using the cast from WarioWare Gold and onwards, as opposed to just the cast in Smooth Moves. You know, it looks good. I'll pick it up eventually. I'm definitely excited to do some weird, funny motions with the Joy-Con, for the sake of learning micro games. But you know, it's WarioWare. It is what it is. To no one's surprise, the last wave of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass was revealed here. Not a ton was actually revealed in that direct. I'm going to give you my full thoughts on it and all the content, of course, in the final part of the boosting series that I've got here, the tier list that I've been doing. Suffice it to say, as far as what was revealed here, they had Daisy Circuit shown off as the one track. I had some worries. About, like, does this mean that we will not have the best, most superior of all, the Rainbow Roads, not in the game? Unfortunately, my fears were assuaged weeks later with the reveal of all the tracks. Whew. The best proper Rainbow Road is now in here. I can worry about that garbage 3DS. Okay, it's not garbage. I don't see the hype with the 3DS version. I can now better tolerate having a 3DS Rainbow Road in Mario Kart 8, which I don't think is as good, because now the best of all the Rainbow Roads is in the game. Again, I'll give you my thoughts on this particular incarnation in detail at a later date and time. The final characters, I should say, were also revealed here. I was very, very pleased with that as well, because we were not just getting two characters. We were not just getting three characters. We got four characters revealed here in this trailer. We got Pauline. Cool. You know, I'm definitely glad to have her in more games. The weird, way unexpected choice, Peachette, was like the bonus character. As a bonus, you know, something we weren't expecting. I know it's another form of Peach to have in the game in Mario Kart 8, but hey, I'll take it. I'll always take another character. There's literally nothing wrong with having another character in Mario Kart, especially when the other two options, the two that I skipped over, were Diddy Kong and Funky Kong. Finally, it took, you know, nearly 10 years, but we finally have solved Mario Kart 8's Kong problem. The fact that there was a console Mario Kart with only one Kong in it after Mario Kart Double Dash, a crime. But now, finally with this DLC, it has been solved. It's sad to me that it took a downloadable content pack nearly 10 years after the original Mario Kart 8 came out to solve that problem, but at least it solved the problem. Like, good God. I'm happy. I've been enjoying the characters again. More details at a later date and time. Definitely not the next episode, but a coming episode. I'm hoping to record more episodes with a surprise connected to that little promise. But not really a promise. but I'll be working on the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Final 5 and Wave 5 and 6 tier list in the background, because I need to get that done. Okay, capping off the presentation, the last thing, something else that I did not expect, and something that I actually had some deja vu to the June Direct with then too, because there was another remake of a Mario RPG announced here, in this case as the final game of the Direct. But it was not a remake of just any Mario RPG. It wasn't another remake of any Mario and Luigi game. It wasn't just any Paper Mario game. Nintendo finally broke their in case of emergency little glass and announced a remake of Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door. Now, I'm not going to play the live part here because, again, just not really anything that I said that was super duper duper interesting in it. You know, I mostly wanted to save things that would be like big reactions, like my F-099 reaction. But when I was recording the live bit, I distinctly said, there are some people who are watching this right now, who are watching and have learned that there is a remake of Paper Mario: The Thousand Year Door, who are going ballistic right now, that are so incredibly happy. I wasn't one of them. Don't get me wrong, I'm interested in picking up the game, but I'm just not like a gigantic Paper Mario fan, and I don't see it as like the most amazingest Paper Mario game. Mostly because I've never actually owned it. It's the only Paper Mario that I don't own in some way. I at least own a download of the 64 version on the Wii Virtual Console, and of course it's on Switch Online. I own Super Paper Mario, I own Sticker Star, Origami King, Color Splash, but I don't own The Thousand Year Door, so now I'm going to have a way to own a copy of The Thousand Year Door. Funny how it seems like GameCube entries are generally the entries in series that I don't have, because I similarly have yet to own a copy of Super Smash Bros. Melee, but, you know, sometimes I guess that just is how things go. I'm sure when prices go down, I will eventually get Melee, and maybe another copy of Thousand Year Door. I doubt it. I will be perfectly content with my Switch version. Not a ton to go off with just the one trailer right now, but it does look more or less like a straight-up HD remake. And I say remake in particular because this is definitely not just like put the game in widescreen, we're gonna make it look a little bit prettier, but it's just the same game. much kind of like what Pikmin 1 and 2 were. No, this is actually, like, you know, these are brand new models, like the game, the brand new lighting, everything. It looks so good. It looks amazing. I mean, it still looks like Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. It's not like they've changed it completely, but in general, graphically, it's a phenomenal translation. There do appear to be very few changes to the gameplay, if anything, if there are any, I guess I should say. And I think that's going to be fine for this game because, you know, people love the original so much that outside of changing, there's one particular quest that I know is not beloved in Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, but aside from changing that, I don't think people would really want much other than new graphics and, like, newly recorded music for this game. I think people would be like, no, we want this to be really faithful. Man, I tell ya, best-looking Paper Mario. Ironically, even though it doesn't lean heavily on the paper idea, if I had to nitpick, you know, do some critiquing here, they added, like, sort of Banjo-Kazooie-esque voices underneath the speech bubbles. So, like, there, I distinctly remember, like, there was a clip where Luigi is talking early in the game. You know, Mario gets a letter, is told to go to Rogueport, and he's receiving it, and Luigi, I don't remember if Luigi is actually the one who reads it, or, like, if he's just talking to Mario about what's happening. And distinctly, like, underneath the, where in the original it would just go, you know, like, little dot sounds, I guess, underneath the characters instead, you hear Luigi, and it's also distinct like Kevin Afghani doing that, because I wasn't in, or actually, I don't know, maybe, it might be Kevin Afghani for Luigi, but see, that could be a weird one, because I know there's clips of Mario and Luigi in Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. So, I don't know, maybe that'll be the one remake where they actually do change the voice clips out, but I digress, I hadn't even thought about that until right now. But either way, my point is, I'm not really into the underneath Luigi's little voice clips and whatever that'll be under other characters too. Or maybe it'll just be reserved for Luigi and Peach and just specific characters with voices like that, but yeah, I'm not really into that. Again, the newly recorded music that I could hear sounded really, really good. I've always been a fan of the battle song in Thousand Year Door. There was a little bit of that in there, and it was so good. So really, really good. Final thoughts. I'm really happy for the folks who have not played Thousand Year Door, that are going to get to try out this new game. Really excited for them. I guess I'm one of them as well, in a sense. I've played a little bit of the game elsewhere. I've just never owned a copy. I'm really, 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 really happy for the people who haven't been pleased with most of the recent Paper Mario games, though, too. The fact that they're getting a remake of the game that they, like, love and cherish, I think is really, really, really wonderful. We'll see when I pick it up, but I can tell you, something that was definitely not on my 2023 bingo card, I guess, to wrap up this discussion. I would not have guessed that, for one thing, Super Mario RPG would get a remake. I never thought that would happen. I mean, I guess there's really no good reason to assume something like that would never happen, but it just seems like, I don't know, you got Square, Nintendo, and it's a game that they wouldn't want to screw up. And then same thing with Thousand Year Door. I mean, granted, you don't have the issue with Square Enix, right? But it's just like, you know, it's a very beloved game. You really wouldn't want them to screw it up. So, like, are they gonna take the plunge on remaking it? But they did on both, and, you know, lo and behold, maybe the expectations for a Super Mario RPG remake and a Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remake are actually lower than we really all thought, because, you know, Super Mario RPG, like I said, really faithful with very few changes, and people still seem very pleased with it, right? Maybe that's really all you need in a remake it for some games. It's just like, don't change a lot, just make it be prettier, right? Make it more accessible. And you know, I'm not going to say that's going to work for every game. Generally, I would be somebody who's like, you should actually add new stuff or change things to make the game better. But, you know, sometimes that's all you need. Oh, actually, last thing. This will be the last thing before I conclude this. We don't know if Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door on Switch is compatible with the GameCube controller adapter yet. And I need answers on that. it would be a gigantic missed opportunity to make a GameCube game be remade on Switch and not have it be compatible with that controller. The same would be true of Pikmin 1 and 2, now that I think about it. I don't know if anybody has ever tested that out, but if that game is not properly compatible with the GameCube controller, then, like, I don't know what Nintendo's thinking here, because that's, like, you know, 101, in my opinion. But that is everything that I have today for you folks. You know, somehow I'm able to extend this out to 54 minutes. What do you know? oh, boy. And that's just the recording. I haven't even put in the live F099 bit yet, so we'll see how long this ends up being once that is in there. But, you know, folks, please, please, please engage in some sort of engagement now that you've given this a nice listening to. It would be much appreciated. Maybe you could send me in a voice message. I'm mostly looking for that voice message at... I can't remember the link anymore. Let me go to my page. It's a really long link, you know, because it can't just be anchor.fm/theCLP anymore. That would be too easy. It is podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/theCLP. And then you'll go to the message button on there to send me a message. Otherwise, you know, leave a comment. Make sure y'all like it. Again, some kind of engagement would be much, much appreciated on this show. I will see you folks next time with the wrap up for 2023, wrapping up year... This should be wrapping up year 3, right? Or is it wrapping... No. Yeah, it's wrapping up year 3. Because it was 2020 to 21, 21 to 22, 22 to 23 now. Or, no, maybe this is wrapping up year 4. I can't remember. I could literally look at my episode titles now, actually, that I've pulled this up and know for sure it is going to be wrapping up year... Come on, where are you? Wrapping up year 4. Wow. 4 years of doing this and only 29 episodes and a couple bonuses. This is all for fun. This is all a hobby. So, anyway, I'll stop stalling on ending this and just wish you folks a good adieu, and I will see you next time to wrap up year 4. Take care.